Let us pray. Almighty God, this morning open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, even our very lives to your living presence, that we may welcome you with a fully open door and may worship and serve you in faithfulness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If at first you don't succeed, try looking in the waste paper basket for the instruction manual. A report out this week shows that that is the least exciting part of buying any new gadget, reading the instruction booklet. So it is discarded. Well, this Advent season holds up a mirror for us to see our human failures, and to look again for God's word of instruction and correction, to turn us around and get us back on the right track. Advent signposts the coming of Jesus Christ. And our gospel reading shows us a human signpost. It is the person of John the Baptist. And he is like a signpost because he is always pointing away from himself to one greater than he, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of the people, John the Baptist looks to the waste paper basket for the instructions to God's heart, which God's people had long ago discarded. And in my sermon this morning, I want to briefly share two points, two aspects of the ministry of John the Baptist, that we may receive the challenge of his ministry. Firstly, to say, John the Baptist was a signpost in the wilderness. A signpost in the wilderness. A strange place for such an important message. If you've got something to say today, whether you're a government, a supermarket, a mobile phone company, whatever, you've got to sell your message. You've got to be upfront and out there, advertising on television, in bus shelters, over the telephone, on the high street, in social media. Simply put, you've got to present your message where the people are, if you're going to reach your intended hearers. And where do we find John the Baptist? Not in the temples, discussing with the religious leaders. Not in the market squares of Jerusalem, where the people are, not on a platform. John pronounces, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness." Why? When you are a herald of the coming gospel, entrusted with announcing the imminent arrival of the longed-for Messiah, do you put yourself somewhere so remote, so inhospitable, so isolated, so far from the people? We might think, John, you're going against all the rules of successful publicity and proclamation. And John, look at your clothes, camel hair. You need an image consultant to tidy you up, to make you presentable. What is the point of a signpost in the wilderness? Who's going to read it? Who's going to listen? Well, the answer to that is remembering that the wilderness is a potent symbol engraved on the collective memory of the people of Israel. Remember at the time of Moses, they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience to God. They were as spiritually dry as the desert heat. They hungered for living bread. They thirst for living water. And John the Baptist was like an oasis who pointed the way to the one who could give them living water and living bread. John did not have to go to the people. The people came to John in their droves. They knew their need. They knew their thirst. So they came to listen to the call and the cry of this New Testament prophet dressed in Old Testament clothes. A new Elijah heralding the coming of the Messiah. They came, they heard, they changed their lives. Except for the priests and the religious leaders who didn't understand, who didn't want to hear. They felt their position threatened. And wouldn't they have been angered by John's accusation, "You brood of vipers"? I remember one church where the reader mispronounced this when she read, "You brood of vampires." That happened. And yes, indeed, for John the Baptist, they were the living dead. No wonder those religious leaders removed the signpost altogether when John was beheaded. But it was too late. That was the trigger. The Word made flesh was out. Jesus, the life, the way, the truth had come. And John the Baptist pointed to him. But the wilderness beckoned the simple, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, and those who lived in darkness. Truly, this was the year of the Lord's favor. And many came to John and went home baptized and cleansed and prepared, spiritually ready for the Messiah. Ready to see his healing touch and receive his word of compassion. So through John and his message, they unraveled those discarded instructions of God so that they could return home again with God engraved in their hearts. So it is with you and with me this Advent. I don't know how your journey towards Christmas has been so far. Perhaps today, or perhaps in the past, you have been in the wilderness, in the dry desert place. Listen for God. Listen for his word. Look out for that signpost in the wilderness. Secondly, and finally, John the Baptist was the signpost to the new. The signpost to the new. The Gospel of John records these words from John the Baptist. Among you stands one you do not know. Clearly, John the Baptist was pointing in a new direction. Jesus was like no other prophet who had gone before. He was Emmanuel, God with us, God for us. This was a new direction and a new encounter for God's people. They were going to know God in a new way, a way they could understand. In Jesus, here was one who would talk their language and share their laughter and pain. Though we think of him as a harsh figure, John's theme was not "the end is nigh," but "the Lord is nigh." The Lord is near. He comes to make all things new. John offers a new encounter with God in the wilderness of people's lives. Yes, the wilderness is a harsh place. Once a place of condemnation, the consequence of disobedience. But it was also to become the place of encounter with God. For throughout Scripture, wilderness is the place where God speaks, where God is heard. And this gives us great hope for those wilderness times. The wilderness place is the place of new beginnings. And John's message is simple. Return. Return to God, your Maker. Come home. Make way, throw wide the doors of your life for God's entrance. Remove those obstacles that get in the way. God is coming in a new and living way, so get ready. Change your ways. As we heard, John the Baptist said to them, if you have two coats, give one away to someone who has none. Share your food. To tax collectors, take only what is due. He told soldiers not to be greedy by extorting people and to be satisfied with their wages. He said, turn from your ways and be baptized into the new life that God offers. Begin again with God. Set out into the unknown. Be surprised at what God is still going to do in your life. And this is the good news for us as we are on the threshold of Christmas. Let us not discard John's word. Among you stands one you do not know. Let that never be said of us. May we desire to know Jesus more and more. Let us never think that we know everything there is to know about Jesus. Let us not put him in a box, even a manger. He breaks out. He comes to us, not only in Bethlehem, but in living ways, by his Spirit, in bread and in wine. May we know the Lord is nigh. And as we go from here, may we also be a signpost, pointing the way to God and moving towards him ourselves. John the Baptist was the signpost in the wilderness, the signpost to the new. As we come to our response worship and to the Lord's table, I close this with these words of invitation by the Christian writer Paul Miller. He says, the only way to come to God is by taking off any spiritual mask. The real you has to meet the real God. He is a person. Your heart could be and often is askew. That's okay. You have to begin with what is real. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. All of us qualify. The very things we try to get rid of, our weariness, our distractedness, our messiness, these are what get us in the front door. That's how the gospel works. That's how prayer works. In bringing your real self to Jesus, you give him opportunity to work on the real you, and you will slowly change. The kingdom comes when Jesus becomes king of your life. But it has to be your life. You can't create a kingdom that doesn't exist, where you try to be better than you really are. Jesus calls that hypocrisy, putting on a mask to cover the real you. And he concludes, so instead of being paralyzed by who you are, begin with who you are. That's how the gospel works. God begins with you. Let us pray. A moment of quiet as we reflect on those words. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Dear God, forgive us the sins which have so laid hold upon us that we no longer confess them to be sins. We look to your cross, to your blood that was shed for our forgiveness, that we might be reconciled with you. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten us, cleanse us, strengthen us to live to your glory. This is the assurance. Through Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.